הפודקאסט של שפות שלי, בית ספר לאנגלית ושפות נוספות. I'm glad to be back and I am with Josh today. How are you, Josh?
I'm wonderful. How are you, Ariel?
I'm doing good, man. It's good to see you. Happy to have you back on the podcast.
Yeah, it's awesome to be here.
Okay, so do you want to share with us how your day has been so far? I know you've been pretty busy. I've been seeing you running around between lessons, doing some prep.
Yeah, indeed. I've been very, very busy. I've had a very, very busy but awesome day. I have to say, it's wonderful to be able to work with such professionals, you know.
Okay.
Many of my students are people who work in high tech or in something with like legal affairs or something that's very, very
human resources.
It's very engaging. So I have to say it's very awesome. We have a very cool drill that we do that just makes the day fly by. And I wish, you know, that it could go slower in the sense, but it's such a productive experience, right? It's interesting actually how it works. Do you know how these drills work?
I know that I've seen you, let's say the feedback that I get from a lot of your students is basically, you know, their main struggle with Shlifap is Manemed, like speaking in real time in English.
Yeah.
There's a main struggle because of the thought process is in Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that you have, and we do implement in the school in general, specific drills that help to draw that on and push that forward.
Can we tell our listeners a little bit how they work, or is it too much of a company secret?
I think then you can definitely share it. Go for it.
A little bit, yeah. Well, basically, the idea how we get people to talk is we kind of prompt them, right? To prompt is to give someone an idea, right? So we'll either provide them with a concept or sometimes a script. You know what a script is, right?
Of course.
What is a script in Hebrew?
A script זה כמו דיאלוג שהוא כבר רשום, שהוא כבר מוכן, הוא כבר מוכוון עם מטרה מסוימת.
Yeah, and we have different levels, right? So some are kind of difficult at a high level of English, business English, and the situation is in a business setting, a formal setting, where some of them are more simple, like at a library or at a cafe. And it's very, very awesome because what I do is I ask my students to read the script in their heads, not read the Hebrew out loud, and then try to translate and say what they see. And what I focus more on is the idea, actually. It's the grammar and the idea. So the prompt is there for them to understand what to say as far as the concept, and then they can say it however. And what's really interesting is every student has some different way of expressing something, right?
Okay.
So kol tamid mevate mashu acher. So it's always interesting to get the perspective of a student.
Amazing. All right, אז זה קצת הקדמה.
Yeah.
לנושא שהוא מאוד מאוד מעניין.
Super interesting.
We have a super...
קצת מלחיץ אבל.
קצת מלחיץ. We have an interesting topic, and our topic של היום הוא מלחמת העולם השלישית.
Uh-oh.
The Third World War, the global crisis.
Isn't it crazy that we're having this conversation, first of all?
It's crazy, but you know what shocks me the most? That recently, like, no matter where I'm on social media, yeah, whether it be Twitter, which is now called X,
mm-hmm,
or on TikTok or on Instagram or even on the news,
yeah,
I'm always seeing something about World War III. It seems like everyone is talking about it, not just in Israel now. I mean, obviously, the Israeli conflict is added to the Ukrainian-Russian conflict.
Yeah.
But it just feels like every country, you know, even globally is like full of conspiracy theories. People are getting bunkers ready.
Yeah. What are the flashpoints? What is a flashpoint? A flashpoint is a place where there's a likelihood for a conflict.
שיש סיכוי גבוה.
שיהיה סכסוך.
סכסוך.
Or an exchange of fire.
Yeah. So I would say we got a few. The one is Russia-Ukraine.
All right, that one's already started.
That one started. That one's running.
Yeah, that one's going in.
Here, Israel, which is now Hezbollah in the north, and Gaza.
But that's a slow burn for now.
Slow burner, yeah. Then we got, the next one is the China and Taiwan.
China and Taiwan, yeah.
That's another flashpoint. Do you have another one which would be interesting?
I think maybe something, you know, it's interesting, China and Taiwan, I think that there's other things at play too, right? There's North Korea and South Korea.
Yeah, of course.
Right,
yeah.
As well as...
That's a classic one. That's been around since I've been a...
Yeah, but what I'm saying is in relation to China and Taiwan, you see, I'm not an expert in Asian geopolitics, but from what I understand, this conflict kind of bleeds into, you know, the geopolitics of Asia is that, you know, the Philippines, all these Asian countries are not too sure about, you know, China having an influence on them from last I understood. And so if it escalates with Taiwan, it could escalate in the South China Sea or the Japanese Sea, I think they call it. I've heard it as the South China Sea. That's not a political statement, though, because they do claim it. They do claim the whole area, but it's the first term that comes to my head. But the sea that is between China and Japan and that area, the whole area could actually ignite if one of those conflicts pops off.
All right. Now, the question is that, do you find it strange that you're seeing so much like World War hype and talk? Or do you think it's something which was normal? Do you think the world was like expecting it? Because they're saying that basically,
it's just interesting. It's a little bit scary.
It's an interesting topic, and that's why we wanted to speak about it today. But yeah, and share our viewpoints, וגם שתזינו קצת לאנגלית תוך כדי, ונושא מאוד מאוד מעניין, אבל, you know, they're saying, I mean, that what World War III will look like is that it's basically could be a matter of minutes. I mean, it could be atomic bombs going off. Yeah. Obviously, one would require retaliation by the other side. Yeah. Most of the powers involved do have atomic weapons nowadays.
Yeah.
So this could be quickly an Armageddon situation. Why is Armageddon, Josh?
Armageddon is so far along.
So far along. Yeah.
Well, what about, so it's interesting to think about because.
Hold on, wait. Did you see Armageddon in the movie?
Maybe.
There was an old movie. There was a classic movie, Armageddon.
There are
things with Bruce Willis and the guy from, you know, the guy from Aerosmith's daughter, the Taylor.
The Day After Tomorrow as well. There was the movie 2012. There are a few movies like that.
There's a new one on Netflix. Did you see it?
Mm-hmm.
No way.
Is it good?
Did you not see it?
Yeah. Wow.
Okay. אז קודם כל, אני מריץ לכם גם לראות. אתם או תסנו את הסרט, או תעבו את הסרט מאוד מאוד. The producer of this movie, okay, let me give you some conspiracy theory right here.
All right.
The producers of this movie is Michelle and Barack Obama. They have a production company.
Are you serious? Yeah. What's the name of the company?
I don't know what the company is called, but I can't remember the name offhand. But if you Google it, you'll see the production company. It was launched in 2018.
Wow.
Okay. And he is actually done, they've done one movie, and this is the movie. Now, they always feed you the reality through movies. They always feed you what to expect.
Yeah.
The movies תמיד אומרים לנו איך המציאות שלנו תראה, הם מנסים לרמוז לנו.
זה אחד מהקונספירציות,
תמיד. הסרטים יראו לכם, they make it so you realize it. The word realize is actually a combination, could be real and eyes. So you see something and you realize it. So the movie, it's cool. But the reason why I'm bringing this up is because that movie speaks about basically, it's like in the world situation. Very interesting movie, okay? And, you know, there's a lot of hints lately about, you know, what's coming and how it's going to look like and the situation around. So it's definitely a movie I recommend to watch. I personally enjoyed it. It was a bit of a crazy movie, but I think you'll like it. It's on Netflix. המלצה שלנו לצפייה בלי כתוביות, או עם כתוביות, אבל רק באנגלית. בלי כתוביות בעברית, כתוביות באנגלית.
Yeah.
Watch the movie.
Okay. What was the movie called? One more time.
Leave the World Behind.
Leave the World Behind.
Pretty crazy movie. There's a lot of theories about that. There's a lot of I'll tell you a few things which are pretty interesting. One was there was like a painting in the bedroom.
Yeah.
And the painting, the waves, it would be like waves in the ocean. And there would be in the beginning like calm waters. It would become crazier and crazier every frame that as soon as the movie, as the movie progresses.
As you see, every time you see the painting, the painting is different. It's more, the waves are more intense in the painting.
Correct, but you have to notice it.
Yeah, you have to pay attention.
You have to pay attention.
Yeah, yeah.
אז עכשיו, הסרט הזה הוא כל כך
subliminal.
הוא כל כך מלא, 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 מלא סימנים.
Yeah.
Little signs שהם אנשים רגילים לא קולטים אותו. Yeah. זאת אומרת, אתם לא תקלטו אותו אם אתם לא תהיו ערים אליו.
Yeah.
אז שימו לב, אחר כך תחפשו, עוד לפני שתראו את הסרט, תחפשו את הרמזים בסושיאל מדיה. על הסרט הזה, ואז תראו את הסרט כבר בפוקוס, כי יש שם המון רמזים. Right. So what I want to say, look, I'm not a big into conspiracy theories, but what I do want to say is that this movie does mess with your mind in a big, big way.
Yeah.
So, and you also see that how humanity all of a sudden just like changes, you know, כל אחד לעצמו. מפחידים המצב שיהיה פה גם, זאת אומרת, you know, they're talking about מצב בלי חשמל בצפון, בלי מים, blah, blah, blah.
So I've been thinking about that a lot, actually. So, I mean, it's a bigger question. It's a different discussion, maybe, like World War III versus how we should prepare, how Israel should prepare. And this is something that I've always said, but I think that we need to have a civilian kitat konanut. Okay, that's what I think, is that every civilian should be able to, or maybe not every, but they should have relaxed. The weapons should be different. Maybe bolt action, not automatic or not like M16s, but 9mm guns that are not as powerful. That every far, every area in Israel
should become a Texas.
No, it's like Texas kind of, but it's not like civilians can carry guns. But I think that if every area in Israel has a place where you can go and get, like, you have a locker. What is a locker?
Locker is a makom linol.
Yeah. With your name on it, you unlock it and you have a weapon. Like, you can go only when there's a time of conflict to have to protect yourself. You know, after what we saw in Starot and all those places, I mean, people couldn't defend themselves, right?
Do you think that guns should be allowed at schools?
For teachers, but for...
It's to lighten the mood. Yeah. In America, they're taking a step too far. But of course, you know, in terms of taking protection here, I mean, it's a definitely necessary. Now, you know, it's shocking that we're having this conversation because it's, you know, there's too many events now lately, like in the last few years, that have like spawned a end of the world, corona, people were freaking out. You know, you were pretty worried, we're talking about it. And I thought, we'll get through this. Yeah. I was pretty comfortable. Now I'm getting a little bit less comfortable about this time around.
What would you rather have, the war or corona?
I think that corona is more manageable because I knew there was more to it than what was being said. And then it's a situation that develops. It didn't seem like at first, like a situation where I wasn't that afraid of it. I just knew that, you know, you take a precaution, keep your distance, you should survive the pandemic. It wasn't as deadly as Ebola virus, let's say.
Yeah.
So I was pretty optimistic. But with a war, I mean, it's such an unknown. We don't know because the governments, you know, the authorities have failed to protect the citizens in this case. That's a kula maskinim lezeh, right?
Yeah.
So now...
Well, now they're trying to compensate.
They're trying to compensate. They're like, yeah, well, if you can count on them now when it comes around, you know?
Well, it seems to me that maybe some of the compensation is maybe mismanaged. I don't know too much about what's going on, mm-hmm. but my understanding of how, you know, bureaucracies often, you know, the result of how bureaucracy functions is that the resources get put sometimes in the wrong places.
Okay, look, that is like, you know, that is only something that the war cabinets can know the details of what's going on. There's something regular citizens will never know. I'll give an example.
Yeah.
Every time you at the Brooklyn for the shot, you open the news, you see another conversation is being leaked between Bibi and Biden.
Yeah.
Right. And that just doesn't make sense, right? You don't have to be a conspiracy theorist here, but I mean, it doesn't make sense that conversations at that level are being leaked. They're not being leaked. They've been purposefully portrayed to the public what the image or what's someone is guiding.
Yeah.
A city is a perikodem about critical thinking and about fake news and stuff like that. So I mean, we swamped now with propaganda and news. It's not kashela down how it's going to go.
Yeah.
But my opinion to you is, how do you see, do you think that the world war, you know, this is why people are listening to this. This is why I'm sure כל כך הרבה ממכם בעצם הקלקתם על הפרק הזה, דווקא על הפרק הזה, כי זה משהו שמסיק אתכם, מסיק את כולנו, הדאגה של...
Maybe we'll talk about this again.
לדאגה של, okay, אם זה יתפוצץ אזורי, okay, אם זה מתפוצץ אזורי, it explodes regionally, אנחנו הולכים למלחמת עולם כנראה, כי יש פה הרבה אינטרסים במזרח התיכון. Do you see it happening?
Well, I think, so this is interesting, and I think that it's important to choose our words wisely in some senses, because while we know who this podcast is targeted towards, you know, there are certain people maybe that are listening to the podcast that, you know, it may be something that there's certain things we can maybe discuss or decide at a different time to talk about potential scenarios about how this war could go in the future. Because I think that there are a lot of realities that the Israeli public doesn't know. I've personally been reading and studying. Fun fact, guys, so our listeners here, I'm a huge poli-sci person, and I've been studying the capacities of the Shia militias from open source material. Open source material is a Dvarim Shemotzimba online. Yesh amon Universitot.
Well, what is Shia Namazanim, Josh? Shia is the what, the Iranian side?
The Iranian. It's one of the offshoots of Islam. It's not so much, I'm not studying Shia Islam, but I'm talking about the political powers, right?
Okay.
As far as the Syrian civil war, Mahamat Azrakit Basuria, right? Bashar al-Assad really survived because of the Shia militias, primarily. Primarily Hezbollah, right? And it just seems to me like, you know, as especially after the 7th, that we underestimated Hamas before the 7th, right? No one thought it was possible. And it seems to me that from what I see in the public discourse is still trying to underestimate Hezbollah. It really seems to me they're not really talking about the actual...
But the Israeli public?
Or? The Israeli public. And what we see on the news as well is that the politicians, this goes from like hypothetical to very, very
I'm
dark.
I'm cranking my neck because I've got a painful neck. It is worrying.
It is a worry. So I don't know how deep we should go into talking on air about the potential scenarios, because it also is just not something you want to put into the zeitgeist. Maybe you should.
Look, if you want to hear
potential scenarios, and I've been looking at.
Look, I know that that guy Itzhak Brick, Anuf Brick, the guy who's been the general, he's got a couple YouTube videos he's been doing.
Yeah,
was getting interviewed. He's been sharing the 3,000 rockets a day, actually jeopardizing strategic Israeli attack options and stuff like that. מה שאני יכול להגיד לכם זה ש. כמובן, תמיד אנחנו נקבל את הטוב, right? You know why? Historically, I mean, you know, we either have a very bad war or a very good war.
We have no choice, though.
We have no choice, right? So, זה יהיה בסדר. We're going to stay positive. אנחנו מתעסקים, how do we keep our mind off stuff? בעשייה. So, we keep doing what we're doing, right? Mm-hmm. Keep doing what we do best.
Keep doing.
Invest, never ishqua. Don't sink deep into, like, you know, tomorrow will be the end of the world, because, firstly, I'll tell you how I live my life.
Yeah, and I'll tell you how I'm living. It's a good way to kind of wrap things up for today.
So I'll tell you like this. Look, when I wake up, there's no guarantee for even an individual level of waking up tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Okay. Forget the state.
Yeah.
Okay. So now people are like very freaked out because the matrix that you live in, you know, seems stable. Always.
The matrix.
The deep state. Okay. Looks like it's solid. Now, unfortunately, everything is non-guaranteed. When you wake up, you don't know if your country will be around next month. You don't know if your army will be around next month. You don't know if your government will be around next month. Nothing is pretty certain.
Maybe hold off on paying your taxes.
Yeah. In the olden days, just don't rush to pay your own honor, guys.
Yeah, don't rush.
Okay. So
the honor can wait a month.
So in the olden days, like, you know, I'm speaking like an old man, but let's say 15 years ago, 20 years ago, I mean, a government would normally be in power 4 years. You know, they'd be voted in democratically. They'd normally stay in. We're not going to talk about if they were corrupt or not. They probably were corrupt, but you just didn't feel the corruption on that level.
Yeah.
So we were just happy to accept it. Swallow the blue pill.
Wasn't spoken about.
You could swallow the blue pill. Have you spoken
about what it means to swallow
blue pill? Give us a brief.
I feel like maybe you might know. For what I understand, it just means to go along with the mainstream. I mean, it can be perceived as following leftist discourse. Like
it comes to the matrix. Obama said the matrix. We want to know two types, two types of kadurim.
Yeah.
We want to know the kadur one. The bubble shchan, the bua shchan, your bubble, and you live in that bubble. And the other pill is to see the truth.
Yeah.
To see the truth, to see the lies,
to be angry all the time,
to be, I would say angry, man. Just to see the reality that many of us crave to see but don't want to see. Give an example. It could be a situation of sometimes, maybe from a personal relationship, like that's a relationship in a couple.
Yeah.
Maybe one of the signs is cheating, and another sign doesn't want to see the truth.
Yeah.
So what's better? Is it better to keep living in your bubble or to see the truth? I would say it's better to see that.
I agree, but you got to weigh the options.
You got to weigh the options. Maybe the kids involved, maybe this family, stuff like that. So sometimes it's not always clear cut, the decision that you make, and that's an individual choice.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I'm saying here is that soon, אני אומר לכם, כי אני חושב, תחזרו לפרק הזה בעתיד, אם יהיה עתיד, אבל לא, סתם אני צוחק. תחזרו לפרק הזה בעתיד. ותוכלו להנזין ולהבין שעוד מעט, לדעתי, we're going to see a lot of, like, built-in conceptions, שקרים, that are going to surface about many, about a country, about people, about public figures. I don't know, but חזרים could be interesting.
I hope so. I hope that if the next...
What about that story, the חזרים in Miami?
There are a few.
No, the one with the police and the shopping mall.
Just like kind of...
kind of weighed up. What do you think happened there, really? Why were they?
You know, I actually had a discussion about this with a student. It came up, but I think there's like four possibilities when it comes to aliens. Either we're being lied to and it's all an illusion by our own government to mess with us. Either it's another government trying to mess with us.
Could be.
Either there really are aliens.
Doubt it.
Right? And we're just really bad. We're really bad at spotting them, and like it's happening.
I'm an alien, Josh.
Or the aliens are just messing with us. They don't want us to see us, right? Like it's literally like one of those four things, because there is for a fact people that are witnessing events, right? So there's an objective and subjective. Subjective, I would say, is that if you believe that they're aliens, right? But objectively speaking, there have been things that have happening, occurrences where people have said they see something, right? And if you have a mass group of people that all claim they saw the same thing, that's endemic of something. I'm not saying it's aliens, but something is happening.
So let me ask
you, maybe it's connected to the end of the world. I don't know.
I've thought about that. That is a very smart point. And yeah. It's actually a lot of documentaries about mass people seeing events.
Yeah.
But the question is, why are most of those events in the USA? Have you ever thought about it?
Yeah. Well, so it's very much, but a lot of, so some very significant ones, though, have happened in Africa and in Brazil. Well, one specifically in Brazil.
Okay.
But there are a few, but I think it has a lot to do with pop culture and the perception. I mean, the number of sightings went up as soon as Hollywood started, you know,
pushing it forward.
Yeah. And this kind of.
So do you think that the perception of, you know what the weird thing is that the, if we take a look like in a, let's say in a court of law,
yeah,
a person's testimony, a person's word,
yeah,
is generally considered the, you know, testimony, fair enough.
Yeah.
But in other sightings and other things, you know, it's not really.
It's not different.
It does not carry water.
Even if they swear.
Yeah, you know, I saw an alien. As many people would say, I saw an alien, but that would never hold. All right, maybe that's for another episode.
Yeah.
All right, אז קודם כל, אני מקווה שנהנתם היום מהפרק הזה.
כן.
מלחמת העולם השלישית, יכול להיות שהיא בדרך, אבל יכול להיות שלא.
Let's
hope not. אז תמשיכו. My recommendation is keep pushing forward, growing. Developing yourself. Don't sink into it.
Personally, I've been living every day, not like it could be the last in a negative way, but like it could be the last in a positive way. What does this mean?
As
the
Ophi.
I'm just making the most of every moment I have.
Really?
And every time I'm with my cats or I'm with a friend or something, I feel like it could be the last time, so I make the most of it.
And when you teach?
Of course.
I mean, like
every lesson like it's my last lesson. Seriously.
Dude, I would love to win the lesson.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys are invited to
come learn with me.
Come learn with Josh, because at the moment he's teaching like it's his last lesson ever. אז זה משמעותי מאוד. All right. אז תודה רבה שהזנתם לנו היום, Josh. It was awesome having you on the episode today.
Yeah, it was
awesome.
And good to see you next week.
Yeah, we're definitely going to do this again. Yeah, you're our prime aspect of not just the teaching team, but also our podcast team.
I appreciate it.
So it's good to see you again, my friend. And always nice having a chat. I personally enjoyed the quality time we spent together doing this, which is important. We don't get much. So I'll see you again soon, hopefully, and keep doing an amazing job.
בעזרת השם.
Support שלי. חברים, תודה רבה שהזנתם לנו כאן היום. אני אריאל.
אני ג'וש.
ג'וש היה כאן איתנו היום. לפרטים, אם תצרו ליצור קשר, יש לכם נושאים שאתה רוצה שאנחנו נדבר עליהם. פרטים נוספים לגבי הקורסים שלנו. צרו איתנו קשר info@shafotshli.co.il או במספר 053-550-1976. אתם יכולים לראות בתיאור של כל פודקאסט בספוטיפיי, קישורים. לגבי ליצור אותנו קשר, לגבי הקורסים שלנו, ומה אנחנו עושים כאן, אנחנו מלמדים בשיטה המובילה בעולם עם אנשים מדהימים, like Josh. Have yourself a great day.
Yeah, have a great day, guys.
Bye-bye.